This podcast is brought to you by Garrett's Garden Furniture. All our garden furniture is handmade in County Offaly. We have a wide range of products such as swing chairs, love seats and picnic benches. We are currently working on new products for next season and you can get in touch today through our Facebook page, Garrett's Garden Furniture, where you can view our products and check out our fantastic prices.
Welcome to What's the Story Podcast.
Broadcasting live from the little town of Clara, County Offaly, it's What's the Story with Lloyd Bracken. Get in touch today through all our social channels and have your say. Oh, and thanks for listening. Now it's over to you, Lloyd. What's the story?
Hi everyone, very welcome back. This is episode 19. Yeah, we're feeling a bit scary here in Raheen tonight. Hope you're all in good form. Thanks very much. Such a fantastic reception to the Niall Molloy podcast last week with Sharon Lawless. Absolutely blown away by all the downloads and messages and everything. So it's great to see and thanks very much. This week it's Halloween and it's not Halloween as we know it. It's a little bit quieter this year, so hopefully we'll liven it up a little bit. I've loads of guests, loads of music and prizes to give away and all that. So let's get started with a little ghost story from Dougsy Gooldigan.
Growing up, most of us would have heard some terrifying incarnation of the Banshee, the female spirit who's the omen of death. The Banshee like to take shelter under bridges and only cry for the O and the Max. These most terrifying and piercing cries have supposedly been heard locally. The story goes, one warm summer evening, one of the O'Flahertys were walking in the Erie Hills. It was a usual walk for him, and he was used to the sounds of the countryside. There was not one noise that would faze him. However, on this particular evening, shortly after he had passed under a bridge, he heard the most penetrating cry of a woman. She sounded distressed, so he searched and he searched, but he could find no sign of the woman anywhere. He soon realised that the screams were moving while he searched, and it was following him. He began to get afraid and started running back down the road, but the screams were still following him. He had passed back under the bridge when he realised they were fading away. Breathless, he returned home, but didn't say anything of his strange encounter. The following day, his mother died suddenly.
Wow, thanks Dougsy Digan for that. That was fantastic. Gave me the chills there, and I'm in a studio here on my own, so I might lock the door. Actually, the last time I heard a haunting piece like that was John Lowe doing Liam Neeson in the movie Taken. Actually, let's remind ourselves of that.
I don't know what you want. If you're looking for ransom, I can tell you I don't have many money. But what I do have are a very rare particular set of skills. Skills I have acquired over a very long career. Skills that make a nightmare for people like you. If you let my daughter go now, that will be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
That was our very own John Lowe just before he headed off to Hollywood and made it big over there. I think it's time for a little bit of music now. We're going to take a great track called Black Magic Woman from a very talented Danny McCormack. Take it away, Danny.
Thank you. magic woman. I got a black magic woman. I got a black magic woman. Got me so blind I can't see. And she's a black magic woman. She's trying to make the devil out of me. Don't turn your back on me, baby. Don't turn your back on me, baby. Messing around with your tricks. Don't turn your back on me, baby. Just might pick up my magic sticks.
Wow, what a great piece of music there. Black Magic Woman from Danny McCormack. Danny has played everything on that bar of drums, so that just shows the amount of talent that man has. Actually, speaking of magic women, there's one woman in town who's fed the town for over 40 years. Let's find out what her Halloween was like and if she's ever saw any banshees in the chipper. Trisha, how are you?
Not too bad.
Are you well?
I'm okay.
Are you scared or what?
I'm in the middle of making stuffing.
Oh, Jesus. I hope there's no human body parts now and there.
No, there's not. No.
You must have seen some very scary things over the years and during Halloween. What did you get up to when back in your day?
Well, going out, banging doors, banging gates. That time the people had come out after you, especially Joe White. We never left him alone. Poor Joe. Basically, that was it, because there wasn't a whole lot. The Halloween wasn't a big thing at that time.
I said, but did you have a bonfire or anything like that?
Oh, there was a great bonfire in the green field, and it'd be getting built for 2 to 3 weeks. You'd be allowed down to that if you were standing away from it, but there was always someone to make sure that you weren't too near it.
So it was a kind of a fun time then?
That was the highlight of it, the big bonfire, and everyone's sheds got cleaned out and thing to get rid of.
So if that's it, if you had a shed clear out, then that was the best time to get it done.
That was the exact time to get it done. A week after the council to be cleaning it up.
So what did Trisha Duffy dress up for Halloween back then?
Well, Trisha didn't have to dress up.
So you just went as yourself.
See, that time, like, you didn't dress up.
Right, that wasn't
there was
the
no
thing,
Halloween
was
costumes. You put on a black bag. A black plastic bag and off would you.
Do you still have the back bag, Trisha?
Oh, I still have plenty of them. Trisha, I could do with my shed being cleaned out, okay.
Trisha, we're going to give you your Halloween name, right? So all we need of you is your initial to your middle name. What is that?
Jay.
Right. Are you ready for this now? This is your Halloween name. Phantom Goblin Eater. That's your Halloween name, Trisha.
Oh, my God.
Have you ever been told that before, no?
No.
Trisha, you must have seen some scary things down in the chippers over the years.
Oh, well, now all the guards have seen some, and something has happened to them. But I was the only one that didn't.
Maybe were you the scary person?
I don't know. A lot of things happened.
Right. Can we go into those?
Billy was going in one evening to work and brought me with her at 4:30 to shake holy water. She was that much afraid.
Go away. Of what? What happened?
An awful lot of things happened down there. There was a pinball machine down there. And you'd see it, the handle coming out, the ball going up, and the flipper starting to work. It was being played like as if there was someone standing there, but yet there wasn't.
Wow. That's very then there scary.
That did happen. Then all of a sudden, a smell of TCP had come all over the place. Where that came out, we don't know. Whistling. Now, I did hear that myself, but the girls have seen a lot of things happen down there.
Okay, so there's a podcast. Well,
whoever it was didn't like me.
So the ghost that was over there, do you think was scared of Trisha Duffy, the phantom ghoul?
Must have been scared of me. But to this day, they're still seeing things and hearing things.
Right. So that's a podcast in itself then, about the hauntings of the Stuart's Chipper.
Oh my God, you'd want to talk to the women now about that.
Trisha, do you miss the Chipper?
I miss it terrible. I miss the customers.
How long were you there for?
About 46 years. I really miss the customers.
Like, you must have seen some, obviously, relationships made and ended. You've seen everything there.
Oh,
I mean,
people
were kind of, I suppose, when they come in late on a Saturday night, their inhibitions might be down a bit. And you might have seen a bit more than you bargained for.
Well, I could write a book.
Why don't you?
And I'd say it'd be a bestseller.
I think you should.
So it would. I think I should. It's never too late.
So, Tricia...
I miss the customers. I miss the crack. People told your problems. You told them your problems. I made great friends.
So, Tricia, will there be trick-or-treaters in the green now this year?
That's what I don't know. Because you don't want to buy in a whole lot of stuff and have it left there. The only thing I'm going to do is, there's not many children in the green, as you know yourself, so there's only about two houses. And I'll just hand in a bit of stuff earlier in the day. And say our own family will ring when they're coming down.
Right, so you kind of have it organised a bit then.
Yeah.
What happens then when Bertie McMahon knocks then around 12 o'clock?
Well, the door won't be answered. Not to Bertie. At 12 o'clock at night,
Bertie,
no.
Bertie call early.
No. I'll hand them over something.
Trish, I hope you have a nice Halloween and thanks very much for coming on and we'll talk to you soon.
And the same to you, Lydon. You're doing a brilliant job.
Thanks a million, Tricia. Appreciate it. Oh, hands up, who'd like a bag of Stuart's chips now and a quarter pounder? Would be absolutely brilliant. Now I'm going to have one of my own little boys telling me what Halloween means to him. So what's your name?
Lucas Bracken.
What age are you?
7.
So what do you like about Halloween?
Dressing up as what? Dressing up as a ghost.
What does Halloween mean?
It's scary nighttime in the town.
What do you do at trick or treating?
Visit everyone's houses and open their doors.
And do you have to go to school at Halloween?
Yep.
No, you don't. You get holidays, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
What is your favourite part about Halloween?
Going for trick or treat.
Do you get lots of sweets?
Oh, yeah.
What other things do you do?
Everything.
Like what? Tell me.
Dressing up, going for trick or treat, visiting our houses.
Do you light sparklers or anything?
Oh, yeah.
You like that?
I saw the sparklers in the house.
Okay. So they say Happy Halloween to everybody.
Happy Halloween, everyone. From Lewis.
Good man, Lewis. Well done. We're taking over the podcast here shortly. Right. The last couple of years, we had a brilliant occasion down in the square called the Scare in the Square. So here to talk to me about that and how that came to fruition is Dervil Dolan.
The idea for the Scare in the Square came around, was the middle of 2017. Racy Scully approached me and he said he had a great idea to put on a show for the kids in Clara for Halloween night. So we just pulled together a local committee just to organise the event. And of course, Liz in the Family Resource Centre was very helpful in relation to it from the very outset. And we had planned to hold the Scare in the Square in the square, naturally, initially. And it was Derek Handy who came up with the name for the Scare in the Square. Derek was a very active member of our committee. So there was such interest in the event in the first year because we were getting so many hits on Facebook and Twitter. All the girls had that operating at the time. Thought that maybe too many people might turn up for the square. So we approached Father Carey, Lord of Mercy, around that time to allow us to use the church car park. Of course, a huge crowd turned up and it was new for everybody and everybody got involved. And there was that many at it that the crowds kind of spilled over into the green field at the time. And, we were very lucky that we had the support of the Gardaí and the Civil Defence and the County Council at the time to make sure everything was run off safely. And after that, then, because of the crowd that turned up, we decided we'd move across into the green field for the events for 18 and 19. The great thing about the Scare in the Square is it was there was something in it for everybody, and it involved all the Disney characters and Ghostbusters and the Hocus Pocus witches and Dracula, of course, and Frankenstein. And of course, all the Disney heroes for all the kids, they all turned up on the night. Superman was there and Captain America and Iron Man. And then, of course, we had the people from Frozen, Elsa and Olaf. And, you know, intermingled during the night, we used to have music. And, of course, all the kids danced to Baby Shark and Let It Go. And we had people, Abba turned up one night there. We were very surprised that they all turned up. And then another one of the other years, Ed Sheeran turned up and we had George Ezra another night. So I suppose one of the big things, I suppose, from your own point of view, Lyde, was that the Beatles turned up one night and they were absolutely fabulous and they pulled the place down, you know. And but it was huge, huge fun for everybody. And then, I suppose, towards the end of the night then, we used to get all the kids involved, as I said, to be out dancing to the Baby Shark. And I suppose the first year we had all the kids dancing to Thriller, and it was a fantastic scene to see everybody involved. And I suppose the great thing about it was the parents used to get involved as well and made a huge effort dressing up and getting the kids all to dress up. So then anybody that we asked to do anything on the night, everything was no problem. And it was great for the kids. We used to do their trick-or-treating early in the day so that to be ready for the Scare in the Square. And this year, unfortunately, we can't hold the Scare in the Square as a result of the virus, and hopefully next year we'll get back and have a look at it again, and hopefully if we're able to get back to having the Scare in the Square again, it would be fantastic for the town.
That was Dermal Dolan there, one of the integral part of the committee who organised the Scare in the Square. It just really shows you what Clara is like. When something needs to be organised, everybody pulls together, and I really hope we can see that back again next year, because it was brilliant, the fun to be had and everyone out and about, and it was really, really good. And thanks to everybody who did so much great work over the last few years. Right, where to next? My next guest joins me from a very dark and gloomy town, the town of Moat in County Westmead. But it's not that bad. They're good old neighbours, in fairness. My next guest joins me to tell me what his Halloween was like back in the day. Let's see if you can guess who it is.
I recall the night that you came into this world. I couldn't believe the doctor when he said it's a little girl. I said, now doc, you must be wrong. You see, I want the boy. Then he laid you in my arms. My heart sang with joy.
Dear Dallas, what's the story?
Come on, Lloyd. The story is very simple. Trying to get used to the virus, and the days are long and all that kind of thing.
Tom, you must miss the gigging, do you?
I do, Lloyd. I miss the gigging. Yeah, I do, of course. I miss the music. I miss meeting all the people, and I miss a few bob every week as well. And the fact that I'm over 66, I can't get any money from anybody on the old age pension, but I'm lucky to have that.
Well, I suppose there's positives. You got this far for starters, anyway.
Yeah, this is it. Yeah.
So, Tom, tell me, what was Halloween like back in Mount Temple?
Back in Mount Temple, the times were great, really. You know, we in a big family like ours. But Halloween, I don't remember much about Halloween. I mean, from a big family point of view. But I do remember, like, we'd be, you know, eating the apple on a hanger from the seal and trying to bite it and all that kind of thing. And then playing different games, and it'd be a penny in the water. And if you got the penny out, you could keep it. But a penny that, then you could buy something for it, you know. And probably my father would have the fiddle and he'd play a few tunes in the corner. And they were good times, very happy times, of course. An awful lot different than today. You know, you wouldn't be going to play games in somebody's neighbour's house because the neighbour was probably a mile away, you know.
Yeah, of course, you lived in the country, so a different scene back then.
Oh, totally different scene when you're living in the country, yeah. But they did have Halloween, all right, you know, but there was no dressing up. It wasn't like the present time where you'd be going to the supermarket and buying masks and all kinds of frilly things to hang in the window and all that stuff. We didn't need that. The cobwebs were in the windows.
So Halloween now, Tom, is a lot different, isn't it? I know you're living in Moat there now, in the heart of it. So you get a lot of people calling on Halloween night.
You do, yeah. We missed them this year. We missed the kids this year. Of course, they won't be coming around. But we don't have any kids there except our grandchild. But the kids all around the state and around the town would come knocking on the door, and you'd have a bag inside the door full of different types of sweets and nuts and whatever they wanted to bring with them, you know. Halloween is a lovely time, I think. It's a nice time of the year. It's the fall, and the winter hasn't really hit in yet, and it is a nice, pleasant time, you know.
Tom, we have a Halloween name generator here, so we're going to give T. R. Dallas his Halloween name. How do you think of that?
Oh.
So your Halloween name, T. R. Dallas, is Phantom Shadow Stalker. There you go. You can put that on your next album. How about that?
Come on, lad.
Tom, and lastly, we want to know, what does T. R. Dallas dress up for as Halloween?
Well, I don't have to dress up.
Just your hat is enough.
I just put on my hat and I'm away, yeah.
Tom, I hope you and yours have a great Halloween, and thanks very much for coming on.
Thanks, mate, to you and the family and all the gang, the extended family. Wish them all well and hope to have a lovely Easter, or a lovely Halloween.
No bother. It's that kind of year, isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing the way the time flies.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, mate. God bless. Bye-bye.
Right, thanks very much for that. T.R. Dallas, the man with the hat. Okay, I think it's time for another little ghost story from Dougsy Gooldigan.
Just outside Clara lies an abandoned old two-story farmhouse. This was left to a young man by his recently deceased uncle. He quickly decided to move in, along with his new wife. When he was younger, there was much talk of the house being haunted, and his uncle told him strange stories of his belongings being moved and doors banging in the night. He thought it was just old wives' tales, with the majority of them being designed by his uncle to frighten him. His wife thought the house was eerie, but it had charm, and their plan was to demolish most of the original structure and rebuild it. They were both fascinated by a second outside door at the front of the house, which could not be opened. They were told by family members that the key had been lost many years ago. After moving in, it wasn't long before things quite literally went bump in the night. They would wake up to doors banging violently, footsteps running throughout the house, and feeling the pressure of a person lying on top of them. In the morning, they would find their shoes and clothes scattered around the room. One particularly chilly night, the movement in the house got completely out of control. They heard the voice of a woman laughing and the sound of smashing from the kitchen. They crept downstairs to discover it had been torn asunder. Plates, glasses and cups had been flung out of their cupboards and onto the kitchen floor. Then, as they stood in the middle of their dishevelled kitchen, they heard an almighty thud. The second outside door had been flung open for the first time in over 50 years. But there was no one to be seen, and there was no explanation for any of this. The couple left the house and never returned.
Another great piece there from Aidan Dygan. Thank you very much for your contribution, Aidan. A lot of talent in Clara, and it doesn't have to be music or singing or that. We have a lot of great actors as well, and that's Aidan is part of the Clara Pick Players, which are brilliant. So thanks again for that. Right, I think it's time for a couple of Halloween jokes. What do you think? It's time for John Lowe's Halloween jokes.
Who did Frankenstein go trick or treating with? His goon friend. What type of jeans do ghosts wear on Halloween? Boo jeans. Why don't skeletons go trick-or-treating on Halloween? Because they have nobody to go with. What did Bigfoot say when he asked for candy? Trick or feed? Ooh, it gets better. What do owls say when they go trick or treating? Happy Halloween! Oh.
Maybe I like the misery.
We have a very important neighbour down the road, and she's seen something very spooky in Ballycumber.
When I was young, I was told that ghosts appeared on Halloween. One Halloween, I went to my friend's house, and it was dark as I started out for home. I was terrified. As I was passing a field, I heard a noise. and looking up I saw a giant man with a white shirt. I nearly died of fright. I ran home and breathlessly ran in to tell my parents I'd seen a ghost. Dad insisted I go back and show him where I saw the ghost. So I went out with my dad. I clung on to his hand. I was absolutely terrified. When we got there, he laughed and pointed out a big horse with a white face looking over the fence. Wasn't I glad that it wasn't a ghost that Halloween?
Hope you're all enjoying our Halloween show. Thanks very much, Phyllis Price, for that spooky but funny story in the end. So don't forget, we've lots of music still coming up and we have the prize to give away, 4 treat boxes to 4 very lucky people out there. Well, actually, 1 lucky person is going to get all 4. So we'll do that very soon. I think it's time for another little bit of music. Great friend of mine and a fantastic singer and entertainer from the Secrets Wedding Band. Getting very spooky here with Ghostbusters.
Hey! Who turned out the lights? You guys? Hey! Where are you guys? Oh no! If there's something weird and it don't look good, who you gonna call? Ghostbusters! I ain't afraid of no ghosts. I ain't afraid of no ghosts. Through your head, who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters!
An invisible man sleeping in your bed, who you gonna call?
Absolutely love that. Brilliant. Joe Rabbit at Ghostbusters. An old Ray Parker Jr. song brought back to life. Pardon the pun, but it's brilliant. Love it. Thank you very much, Joe. Right, it's time to learn a little bit about Halloween and where it came from. And who best to tell that story than our very own member of the Clara Heritage Committee, Tara McGrath. Take it away.
Lloyd, some of your listeners might wonder about the origins of Halloween. It's not the innocent candy-filled trick-or-treating night of fun that Hollywood portrays, but instead its origins go back thousands of years. Halloween was originally one of 4 pagan festivals, or quarter days, celebrated for millennia in Ireland by the ancient Celts. The first of these quarter days is Imbolg on the 1st of February, marking the arrival of spring. The second is Bealtaine on the 1st of May, marking the start of summer. The third is Lunasa on the 1st of August, marking the first harvest. And finally, Samhain on the 1st of November, marking the start of winter. The Irish word itself for Halloween is Samhain, which means summer's end, and the festival marked the end of the harvest season and the coming of winter. Some suggest that the modern tradition of stocking up on food and treats derives from the ancient Samhain tradition, where the Celts stockpiled their supplies for the coming winter. This included the slaughter of their livestock for food over the coming months, and the bones of these animals were then disposed of in large bone fires, which leads to the lighting of the modern bonfire. The ancient Celts also believed that the veil between the worlds of the dead and that of the living were thinnest at this time, and it was a time when the dead who had not passed over to their eternal rest could once again return to earth and walk amongst the living. According to folklore, the ancient Celts believed that restless spirits, fairies, ghosts and elves would show up on Samhain to do mischief with the living or to exact revenge for wrongs carried out when they were alive. To confuse these spirits or ghosts and avoid capture, people would attempt to hide their identity by blackening their faces with ashes from the bone fires. This attempt to disguise themselves is where the wearing of masks at Halloween came from. The American version of Halloween as we know it today originated from the Irish who had emigrated to the United States during the 1800s. These Irish were largely Catholic and continued to observe the traditional holy days at the end of October and start of November of All Hallows Eve, All Saints Day and All Souls Day, even after settling in the United States. The tradition of the carved pumpkin that we associate with Halloween also has its origins in the Irish immigrants and their jack-o'-lantern. The story goes that once there was a man by the name of Stingy Jack who was a very clever drunk but was always causing mischief and trouble. One night while walking the highways and byways, Stingy Jack came across the devil but managed to capture him in a tree by hacking the sign of the cross into the bark of the tree. Unable to release himself from the tree, the devil promised Jack that he would never claim his soul and take him to hell if he would just release him. Jack eventually agreed to let him go and continued to live his feckless life, as he did before, without any fear of retribution, either in this life or the next. Eventually, Jack died, but because of his lifelong sins, he was barred by St. Peter from passing through the gates of heaven. His deal with the devil also meant that he wasn't allowed in there either. Feeling somewhat sorry for himself, he went to the devil, who again refused him entry. However, he did allow him to take an ember from hell to carry with him in his lantern, carved out of a turnip, to light his way as he roamed the world for all eternity. After the Irish got to America, they abandoned the carved turnip in favour of the easier to carve pumpkin. Regarding Halloween and local folklore, I found a fantastic story in the 1938 Duke of School collection about Biddy Brazel, the Witch of Ballycumber. According to several stories in the collection, Biddy Brazel was a witch who lived in Castletown, about 3 miles outside of Ballycumber on the way to the island, in a small cabin in the middle of the bog. Biddy was supposed to have lived around the 1860s or so, and was either a skilled herbalist who had a cure for animals or was a witch, depending on how you viewed her. It was also said that she had spent 7 years with the fairies. If people asked about the cabin as they passed by, they would be told by locals, "God between us and all harm, sure Biddy Brazel the witch lives there." There's one story about a group of poachers who were out in the bog hunting rabbits and hares, and on one night these poachers saw a strange white hare darting amongst the bog and shot at it. Following the injured hare track, they arrived at an old cabin at the edge of the bog, and when they reached the cabin they couldn't see any white hare but an old woman with snow-white hair who was bandaging her blood-stained leg. Shocked at the sight, the poachers turned and fled. On another occasion, Biddy Brazel the witch visited Clara and went to one of the many millers in the town to buy grain for her pigs and chicken. However, she didn't have enough money and was sent away empty-handed by the mill manager. Later that evening, the mill manager tried to milk his prize milch cows, but they refused to provide him with any milk at all. The mill manager recalled Biddy coming to the mill earlier in the day and believed she had put a curse on him. He sent his workers to get Biddy and supplied her with all that she wanted. And straight away his cows began milking to such an extent that the cow pails overflowed. So while you're out trick-or-treating this Halloween, remember to leave out something nice for Stingy Jack or Biddy Brazel, the witch from Ballycumber.
Oh, very interesting stuff there, Tara. Thank you very much for that. That's Tara McGrath from Clara Heritage Committee. I didn't know we had witches in Ballycumber. Phyllis Price, if you're listening, can you fill us in there? Pardon the pun. Right, folks, some of you may be aware of a scary man going around the town on a bike, sometimes with a ladder. But he joins me on the line now to talk to me about that. Crane Slamming, what's the story?
Well, I didn't have to bring the ladder into it. He can't defend himself.
You were strange enough, is that what you were saying?
Yeah.
So, Crane, firstly, tell me what Halloween was like for you growing up.
Sure, Halloween was a great occasion back then, lad. One of the few times you could really let go and celebrate. It was all house first, like, you know, ducking for apples and nuts, the barn brack, and then you went round banging gates and ringing bells. Back then, a lot of people used to bring in their gates because they knew that we were coming or certain kids were coming to bang the gates.
So people would take off their gates, is that what you're saying?
People would take off their gates. You'd only have an odd gate that would be left on the hinges. And they'd get a fair rattle down the course of the night. There was a lot of kids back in the green back then, like, you know.
Of course, the green is a different place now, isn't it?
Yeah. With doorbells. It was nearly electric gates going on, I'm sure. Need the codes to bang them now. And if anyone was unfortunate enough to have a doorbell back then, very rare thing. Just like I got some going off.
So, like,
was novelty.
Was there a big bonfire back then and all that?
Yeah, we'd be gathering stuff for months beforehand. And we'd be stealing it on other people. Of course, you'd gather stuff. And unbeknownst to them, we'd find out where to hide it, and we'd steal theirs, but sure, we didn't know that they found out where ours were. And they used to steal our stuff. So it was Jacob and Peter to pay a pot. We always had an ace in the pack. Enemies used to always give us a supply of tyres. Our bonfire would be the biggest one around because of it. It was judged back then by the flame and the amount of black smoke that came out. Needless to say, if you had 3-4 tractor tyres in the middle of it. I remember Lord of Mercy, Pat Welch, one year. Pat was a great. Pat used to really look forward to the bonfires. And just one year, Widow Annie was noticing. He had gone up to the top of the green field with one of these tyres and got into it. He thought it would be a novelty to roll down the hill in this tyre into the middle of the bonfire, not realising the outcome that could have been. But luckily, Pat, when he hit the middle of the bonfire, the wheel scored out sideways. We could pull him over.
Pat Welch was a huge part of Halloween, even when I was growing up, dressed in the different costumes.
He was a huge part of the town, like. He was involved in everything. He was a great old character. So he lived for things like that. Pat Welch used to cycle to Craw Park years ago to see Offaly play. He'd leave at 2 or 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning on his bicycle.
Some man.
The whole way to Dublin to see Offaly play. And he had, win or lose, he had that journey home then on the bike as well.
Fantastic. Some man.
Yeah.
Tom, we know you have some cool ghost stories, or do you, for us?
Well, I have one now that actually really scared the pants off myself and my brother. We had an uncle used to come home from England regularly back then, like I'm going back 50-odd years ago. And it was always a thrill when he'd come home because he'd always bring you something. So you'd be looking forward, you know. But this particular year, he came home to coincide with Halloween. And unbeknownst to myself and the brother, Paddy, the treat he had for us, he was bringing us down to where his wife was originally from, which was down around the borders of Kerry and Cork. And I mean, up in one of the mountain ranges down there, right up. Of course, myself and Paddy took this with a pinch of salt, like it was a day away or 2 days away. So we got to this mountain anyway, and sure, we were as long going up the mountain as it was to get from Clara to this mountain. It was a real old bad road back then. And we got to this little cottage anyway, and we got out of the car to go in, and it was, so when we went in, then the reality hit myself and the brother. It was only a little two-story house, a little cottage, but every inch of the walls had holy pictures or holy water fountains and bottles of holy water everywhere and candles. So myself and the brother started again a little bit on the edge, on the edgy side. So we were getting ready for bed that night, and we didn't know whether it was a setup, but the uncle's mother-in-law actually made it her business to tell us when we going into the room that the only way we'd know if we were going to be visited that night or if anything was going to happen was a howling dog. This was always seemingly a call that whatever was haunting the area came with a howling dog.
Right.
Should myself and Paddy got into bed. We were like them Siamese twins. We were that stuck to one another. And of course, no, two big guys. Sam is a big guy anyway. I want to be the size of that guy. And anyway, we come into the room with a terrified shake out of him. And no lights, no nothing. The candle was blew out, like, you know, we were left in the room hooking one another. And the next thing, maybe an hour later, this howling started. We were petrified. Petrified. It was an awful experience when you're 10 years of age, like, you know.
Jeez, you're only 10. You're up down the mountains in Cork.
Up mountains, down in Cork. Oh, yeah, we got our own. I know a ladder back then.
Any stories closer to home, John?
Well, yeah. This is, I don't know, I suppose it's scary in a sense. Like, you know, and what truth in it is up to people, whether they want to believe it themselves. But my mother and father, a lot of worse than my father, they were only courting at the time. And my mother's sister was living in Marion Square. And we're up visiting this particular night, and of course it was coming near 12 o'clock, and my father remembered about, if anyone that would remember Clara back then, the blind windows up along the Marion Square Road was noted to be haunted in that area or whatever was supposed to have been seen. So my father was aware of it and said to my mother, Patsy, come on, we may go, it's getting near 12 o'clock, we want to get past them blind windows. So my mother got ready to get She started to get ready to go, and of course one thing led to another, goodbye and this the hand other. So the left and in were walking down the street. Two of them, and this was Clara back 50 years ago, there was no light, no lamplight, no nothing. So they got to the first set of blind windows, and as they passed by the windows, both my mother and father heard a noise. And my father turned around first. And when my mother went to turn around, my father grabbed my mother by the head and looked her in the face and said, "Patsy Cowan, if you love me, you won't look behind you."
Nice.
And they walked the whole way to the mill corner and turned for the town. The noise followed them the whole way down the street. And when they turned to come into the town, the noise stopped.
Nice.
And my father died in 92, and he told nobody that day what he saw. My mother confirmed, all right, there was a noise, but he never told anybody what he saw.
So your father definitely saw something, but he brought it to the grave with him.
He brought it to the grave. He didn't want to reveal what he saw. My mother can confirm that the noise, both of them heard the noise. It was a scary enough noise. It wasn't a normal noise. It wasn't like someone walking behind you. You know, it wasn't, you couldn't contribute it to something, we'd say, normal.
Right. Yeah. So, of course, them blind windows are no longer there anymore.
They're no longer there.
Which is a pity in itself.
When they were taken down, they were supposed to be replaced. I don't know what's going on.
Right, so have you any more haunting sights around Clara, John?
It's everywhere.
Coming home late from the pub could be haunting enough sometimes.
I had an awful experience one night. And I'm not putting it down to the drink, because I wasn't a big drinker back in the day. I'm only, a couple of months married. I was living in Rail.
You're only getting started.
I was only an apprentice. I served a young apprentice at Martin Bradley and Paddy Begelin and John Sheeran's, which was Halloween every weekend. But I used to come down of a Wednesday night for a couple of pints. And this was when the silos were still there at the mill, like, you know, and again, no light, and the mill corner was a shocking eerie place, but the height of these buildings and everything was so dark. Of course, I didn't cause a thought. I was coming home around, I don't know, 11:30 or 12 o'clock. And to this day, I was passing the silos. And to this day, like I say, I don't know whether there was drink, because I didn't have a lot of drink, but something or somebody climbed the gate and made a go for me. And I took to running. Now, I was fit at the time. I was only 19, 20 years of age, and I could run size 12 feet. And I went, I was living in number 6, 5, 6 Railway View. I ran, jumped two walls, and cleared the wall of the house. And the key, thank God, was in the front door. And I opened the door and stepped in and closed the door behind me. And Lord of Mercy, Jimmy Kennedy was standing looking at me. He said, "The living light of the Lord Jesus, what are you after seeing?" I was the colour of a question. And I wasn't able to tell him. And of course, Jimmy's answer was, "Becky, I got them."
John, we have a Halloween name generator here. So we're going to give you your Halloween name. All we need from you is your initial to your middle name.
P, Patrick.
P, okay. So here we go. This is your Grand Slam, and this is your Halloween name. It's Skull Crafter. Now, what do you think of that?
Quite Skull Crafter.
Yeah.
Well, a few people will add to that.
No ladders
involved. Them letters could be twisted.
John, enjoy your electric gates down in the green this year, and thanks very much for coming on the podcast.
No, bother, late. Anytime.
And happy Halloween. And we'll talk to you soon on another podcast.
I hope we can't get to laugh. I don't scare too many.
Not at all, no. Just stay indoors, that's all.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks, John.
Take the advice. No, bother, late.
Take care. Bye-bye. Some very scary goings on around Clara there, according to Crane Slamming. Have you ever passed the blind windows at 12 o'clock? Let us know if you have. Also want to mention from the Clara Heritage Committee, they're having a Halloween heritage hunt. You have to solve 12 cryptic clues, and they're all located around Clara. You take a snap at each location, submit them and to their Facebook page, and be entered into a massive competition from the Clara Heritage Committee. Let's join up now with Bertie McMahon. Let's see what his Halloween was like.
Well, I'll tell you about my days with Halloween, and I loved it so much. I remember the late Paddy Dolan and myself. We used to go round and we'd get turnips, and we'd cut eyes and nose and a mouth out with a turnip, and we'd put a candle into it. And we'd pour it down. There was a big Mayo woman that used to live in the green called Mary Ellen. And of course, when she'd get back, she could say prayers over you. And we'd lay it down over the door. We'd get a loop of thread and we'd put it in the knocker, and we'd knock the door. And when she'd come out, she'd give a scream. And like, it used to be such fun. That time there was lots of hedges and everything, the green, of course, and we'd hide in. Then we'd go around various places, like we'd go to maybe the old graveyard or something. We'd have a white sheet over it, and maybe the lads would get a couple of girls to come in, and the girls would start screaming, think there was lads getting out of the graves and every damn thing like that. And of course, another thing we had then, and I remember my late mother and my cousins and that, and we used to call it ducking. And we'd have an apple. And we'd have an apple hanging out of the ceiling. And we'd try and catch that. And I suppose an awful lot of people said, Bertie, you would know about her catching in your mouth. But it was a difficult job. And then you'd put various things into a basin, and you'd have water in the basin, and maybe you'd have a couple of nuts or that for the occasion, and you'd try and pick them out as well with blindfold on you, and you're putting your head down. And it really was fantastic when you look back on it, you know. I don't think anyone does that much now. Halloween, Lloyd, was always special. And I'm sure your dad will remember great cracks like that as well. It was a fantastic time.
Bertie, you don't strike me as a person who would be scared of haunted houses or anything like that.
Well, talking about haunted houses, you know, there was the late Jenny Finley. Well, Jenny worked in the chip shop there, Stewart's chip shop. And a group was out to this old house out in Kilclare. It was called Weirs of Kilclare. And of course, the late Jim Cowan was a great character. Jim was a guard in Clara. And Jim used to be out there hiding in, you see. And he'd make noise and everything. And we'd go to this house. And old Vanavis, the late Jackie Rabbit, would bring us out. And we'd go to, we'd scare the witches. The next thing you hear, the bang of a gun or something. But I remember one night, the late Tom Fallon, they're nearly all gone, you know. When I say that, everyone I speak of is nearly gone at that. But the late Tom Fallon and his son Kevin were above in the top room. And so we were scared to death. We could hear the noise and everything above in the room. And myself and the late Paddy Dolan decided that we'd go up the stairs and we'd have a go at them anyway. They were going, sure. We never heard of a ghost killing anyone. So we went up. And halfway up, we met a sink. It hopped off our chest, coming down, and we landed down at the bottom of the stairs. But definitely, it was great times, and it was great fun. And, you know, it was all simple, innocent fun when you think of it. Like, you know, I'd love to be able to get back to them days again, you know. Like, not alone Halloween, but the crack used to be great. Like, if you look at even... And I'm not going away from Halloween very far, but take the 29th of June, we'd have Bonfire Night. And we'd have any tyres we could get. And we'd put them there, and we'd have them at corners in the green. Sure, we had some great fun. Catch Grinning, when his big lorry went through at one time. And then you had the late Patrick Brannan doing the same with a motorbike. So, like, there was always tremendous fun on that. Another thing was we used to do was go down. The old school was there that time. And there was laurels and everything inside. I'm sure we'd hide in behind the laurels and jump out when people was passing. Different times now, but I'm sure kids in their own homes and that will still have a good bit of fun for
we'll make the most of it.
And have the crack.
Bertie, have a happy Halloween.
Well, thanks very much, Lyle, indeed. And I wish you the very best with your shows. Are excellent. Maybe you're in the wrong business. It's a man you should be. You should be on radio because you're just fantastic.
Lovely compliments there from Bertie. Thank you very much, Bertie. The check is in the post. Growing up, my Halloween was simple times in the green. When I lived down there, we lived beside Connors and Clark's, Hughes's and Anna Feary's. We used to dress up. It was a black plastic bag, nothing special. We had a mask that we probably had the same mask every year. I remember my father used to catch us every year. We fell for it. He used to come round the back of the house and he'd knock on the back door and he'd be dressed up in this old man's mask and a white sheet and he'd scare the living daylights out of us. We fell for that every year. But then we used to go over to the bonfire. Of course, the bonfire, we'd be collecting stuff for weeks before that. And as Crane Slammin mentioned, we might be robbing stuff off the other housing estates as well to try and get ours the biggest and the smokiest. Hannemy's always provided a petrol for that. And that was great times. There was not much fireworks or anything back then. It was all kind of simple and throwing eggs and a bit of flour. And then we go home then and we get ready to go out trick-or-treating. As I said, get out to Anna Feary's, up to Margaret Naaman Fleming's house. And everybody enjoyed the experience. And everybody always always answer the door. You know, there was no malice as such. Everybody gave something nice and you might get a few bob or whatever. Then we bring all the stuff back. Myself and my sister Pat was there then. And we do ducking and all that sort of stuff and playing with flour and the apples. And look, it was great. Simple times. It was the highlight of my year, as it was, before Christmas. And I loved it. Loved every bit of it. Right, it's time to give away some treat boxes. Does anybody fancy some? Let's see if I can run the generator here and see from our entrance who has won. And the winner is Lauren Burns. Well done. Yep. Okay. Well done, everybody. Thank you. That's a bad Gay Bourne impression there. But well done, Lauren. We'll be in touch. Congratulations. Right, I got a lovely little piece of a ghost story here sent in from Connor Maguire. Some of you might know Connor's mammy, Jan Rex from Clara. So Connor, take it away and don't scare us all too much now.
It was a foggy October evening. Me and my brothers and sisters went for a mountain walk. The river was flowing and the trees had lovely orange leaves. All of a sudden, it got really dark. The fog came down thick and fast. We couldn't see our feet or find our path out of the woods. We ran faster. Suddenly, we came to a big black hole. Something hairy and noisy arose from the hole and made a strange farting noise. We ran for our lives. I tripped over a large stick. I shouted to Connor, Emma, Maeve and Jack, run! Save yourselves from this creature. I lay there, unable to move. Suddenly, the hairy thing stood over me. I was shaking. I opened my eyes, and a voice said, it's me, son. Are you okay? It was Danny. The end, by Connor, Patrick, Emma, Maeve, and Jack Maguire.
Well done, guys. Thanks very much for sending that in. So a little question for you all. What's your favourite Halloween song or indeed your Halloween movie? We got lots of comments in on our Facebook competition. Diana Murphy Rainsford, all the way over there in the USA, says her favourite movie is Scream and her favourite song is Ghostbusters. We hope you like Joe Rabbit's version. Mary Willis, your favourite movie is Hocus Pocus and your favourite song is Tubular Bells. Anne-Marie Mannerings, the dog who saved Halloween, his kid's favourite movie, and her favourite song is I Put a Spell on You. Amanda Keenan, your favourite movie, Hocus Pocus, and also the song I Put a Spell on You. So what is your favourite out there, folks? We've other comments coming in. Hocus Pocus, a favourite song. The Addams Family is another one. The Ghostbusters, Beetlejuice. This is Halloween by Marilyn Manson. Thanks, Lauren Cornley, for that. Arlene Daniels Russell, the Addams Family movie and the spooky, scary skeleton song. Okay, I must have a listen to that one. Alexander Fitzpatrick, Ghostbusters is your favourite tune and I Put a Spell on You by Nina Simone. I've left my scariest tune till the very end of the podcast, so you'll have to wait and find out what that is. Hope you're really having a good time at Halloween. A little bit different this year, but that doesn't bother us at all. Last little piece here from the Clara Pick Players group, and it's Claire Flattery with a very scary story. Take it away, Miss Flattery.
Where I live right now is not far from where I lived before. It's back to there my story goes, 110, then add a little more. On All Hallows Day in 1982, the clocks turned back as it did this year, bringing back a memory more vivid this morning than ever before. As a 10-year-old girl, we played in the fields and on the railway. This particular day, I found myself alone at Charlestown River Bridge. Dropped a stick in on one side of the bridge and watched it come out the other. Humming and skipping, I find my hands upon a cold white iron fence. I gaze at the greenness of the grass. I see the gravestones. Curiously, I jump over and land on the soft ground, covered in moss and fallen leaves. Birds singing in the trees. These headstones are different. No plots, no surrounds. All the same size and width. I read many beautiful names. Sarah, Martha, Hannah, Rebecca. unaware of passing time as I moved around reading the epitaphs. Things start to change. Suddenly, a cold, harsh breeze sweeps across my face. My blood runs cold. The hairs on my neck stand on end. My hands are frozen. It's as if someone stole the sun from the sky. I feel something beside me, a warm breath on the side of my face, and hear the words, "No, no, no," repeated softly in my ear. I go rigid, my body refuses to move. Then the voices says, "You are for boys. Your body is over there. Now leave." I feel as if my body is released from 100 arms. As I run and run and run, I clear the fence in one leap. On the road, I stop and look back. Surrounded by a mist, I see a girl as tall as me but older, flowing jet black hair, dressed in lace, all white with short puffy sleeves. Her arm rises, pointing towards me. Then she slowly raises her finger to her lips. In a whispered, "Shh," then disappears with mist. Over the years, I questioned, did it really happen? If so, what did it all mean? I still hear the words in my head. I finally figured out, "You are for boys," refers to the birth of my three healthy boys. I was not to have girls. Last week, I discovered the rest. I revisited the graveyard for the first time last week. It happened to be the anniversary of the clocks going back 38 years before. In the warm sunshine, I carefully wandered over to where she had pointed. "Your body is over there." I found a headstone which read, "Buried here, Olivia, born the 13th of July 1900, died the 13th of July 1972, aged 72. I felt a cold chill. She was born on my birth date and died the very day I was born. My second name is Olivia. Where I live right now is not far from where I lived before. I see those gravestones each morning through my kitchen door. There's one for you and one for me, and God only knows when that will be.
Ah, that's excellent stuff. Thank you very much, Claire Flattery from Clara Pick Players. We're going to have the last little piece of music on the show. Again, it's from Joe Rabbit, who did a great job on Ghostbusters. Let's see how he does on an old Cranberry song, "Zombie."
Silence.
Wow, another classic interpretation of a great song. Joe Rabbit, well done. Zombie, an old song from the Cranberries. Some talent in Clara, nobody can deny that. This is the Halloween show. Hope you're all in great form. Hope you're getting ready for a small bit of trick-or-treating. Maybe organise something with your neighbours or that. Obviously, social distance and all that stuff that has to go with COVID. But we won't let it get to us too much. We got a last guest on the show tonight. Let's hear what Derek Feary's Halloween was like back in the day.
Hi Lloyd and everyone on What's the Story podcast, Derek Feary here. To share a memory of my childhood growing up in Clara during Halloween. Very simple times, very simple. Compared to now, my kids went to school the other days. One was Elsa and one was Spider-Man. Whereas when we were knocking around Ian Fitzpatrick and James O'Brien, we had a plastic bag and a mask from Kenny's or Brennan's corner shop there. And you go from house to house, might get a few pound, loads of fruit and some chocolate every now and again. Great road. You had Scullies, you had Mahers, you had the Brackens down beside us. There was a huge gang of us at the time. So you never really left your road. And the green back then, I grew up in 24 the green and my granny was 124 the green in the middle aisle. And there was no cars when I was really young living in the green. Jimmy Quinlan had a motorbike, that was it. And yeah, you go from house to house and then you come home and Mam would have a bucket full of water and you'd bob for apples or try and pick up a 20p coin from the bottom of the bucket. And then you had a bowl of flour in the shape of a kind of a pyramid with a penny on top and you had to cut away the flour. And if the flour or the penny fell while you were cutting away, you had to put your face into it. Toffee apples, like simple things, the simplest of times. Then you go around to the green field and there'd be a bonfire. Now, of course, this was all before the Divimet teenage years came in. When we went down, we had the shop in River Street and I used to put eggs aside during the year and hide them over the back wall in Towns Field behind us. And those eggs would be, they'd be coming ripe around Halloween time and some poor divil would get a belt of a bad egg. But simple, like funny, harmless times, but good times. Clara was brilliant, still is, full of memories, full of really good memories. That's it. I want to wish everyone a happy Halloween. And thanks a million for the podcast, Lloyd. Really love it every week. And keep up the good work. Talk soon. Bye.
That's it, everybody. That was a Halloween special, episode 19. Really hope you enjoyed it. And it brought back a few memories for a lot of people out there. I know Halloween is a little bit different this year, but if we can all come together and enjoy it as best we can. I'd just like to thank absolutely everybody who took part in this for their contributions. It's brilliant. I've asked, nobody has said no, which is great. So that's it. I'm going to leave you with a little piece of music that has haunted me throughout my primary school years. I don't know if I can even listen to this, but I'll leave it with you. Happy Halloween, everybody. I'm going to talk to you next week. Thanks a million.
This podcast is brought to you by Garrett's Garden Furniture. All our garden furniture is handmade in County Offaly. We have a wide range of products such as swing chairs, love seats and picnic benches. We are currently working on new products for next season and you can get in touch today through our Facebook page, Garrett's Garden Furniture, where you can view our products and check out our fantastic prices.
You just listened to What's the Story with Lloyd Bracken. Check out all our social channels for info on new episodes. Oh, and thanks for listening. Honda Town.